Do you know what this is? The source of that sound is perfectly familiar to everyone, but you don't recognize it now because it's three times lower in pitch than you ordinarily hear it. See how soon it will dawn on you what it is. And on the other side of the fence? Now raise the pitch higher and higher and see what happens. Here's what you might hear on any spring day. One of those was this. Like a fire bell. Now we'll bring it up to the normal pitch. Then this. It's the same dog as before. You can make a tugboat out of an ocean liner. And most grotesque of all, yes, sounds, to some extent, are what you're accustomed to hearing. And when you alter the familiar pattern of sound, an element of strangeness immediately appears. And there's a whole world of new sounds waiting to be heard. For instance, here's middle G on the piano. That sounds like just one note, but it isn't just one. As we've said, it's a combination of many sounds, of many different pitches. Look, this is one note, that G you heard, but pure, alone, just the middle G itself. Now, why does that same note, G, sound different on the piano? This is why, because on the piano, when you strike middle G, you hear not only G, but these additional tones. And these are what are called overtones. To show that, we'll play the old trick of holding down the piano keys of the overtone notes as we strike middle G. The lower ones are loudest, of course. Now let's try an experiment. Here's the simplest and shortest tune we could think of. It's only part of a tune, really, played in pure tones, with none of those additional pitches we heard in the note played on the piano. Here's that same tune played on one of the purest and highest instruments, the flute. Now the obbligato to that tune played on one of the lowest instruments, and one that's very rich in those overtones we demonstrated on the piano. Here's the tuba. Now a duet, the highest and lowest instruments, the flute and the tuba together. Now for the experiment. We're going to lower the pitch of the flute by 3 octaves, playing the same tune, but the quality will be changed because the overtones, the few it has, will be 3 octaves lower too. Here it is. You see, it's a more mellow sound than in the normal register. Now let's do just the opposite with the tuba. We'll play it 3 times higher than the original. And notice what happens to the quality of the sound. The quality is changed. Sounds more like a trumpet or cornet. Now, for the fun of it, let's play the duet upside down with the tuba obbligato at the top and the flute playing the melody at the bottom. It's still the flute and the tuba, but not as you're accustomed to hearing them. The quality is altered as well as the pitch. Here's another experiment. Listen. You'll have the pianist play this tune from the end to the beginning. You'll play it backwards, starting with the last chord. Now, we'll reverse the tape of this tune, as the pianist has just played it, backwards, so you'll hear it forward again. Understand what we're doing now. The pianist has just played the tune backwards, from the end back to the beginning. But we'll play what is recorded in reverse, so you'll hear it from the beginning to the end again, but with a strange difference. Listen. Did you say it sounds like an organ? Of course, you see why, because each time the piano notes are struck, the sound starts immediately to die out. It fades, decays. But you're so used to hearing this fading out of each tone or chord that you don't even notice it. The tune has become just a sequence of notes, one after another. But when you reverse the tape and play it backwards, the dying sound is what you hear first, growing louder instead of softer, and ending instead of beginning with the chord being struck. Here, even simpler, do it with the voice speaking. I'll say my name as clearly as I can. Jim Fassett. Jim Fassett. Here it is, played backwards. Now I'll say it backwards, just as carefully as I can, copying what you just heard.
Tesaf mij. Tesaf mij.
Now we'll reverse the tape and play that forward again.
Jim Fassett. Jim Fassett.
You see, I can't say it backwards because I can't reverse the formation of the consonant sounds and the vowel sounds. That sh is the J actually played backwards, but I can't reproduce that sound with my tongue and the roof of my mouth. Pretty baffling, isn't it? Well, it's this.
An octave lower and played backwards.
Starting at the end, playing back to the beginning. The first time you listened, you heard the dying sound first, the very end of it growing louder and louder to the instant the bell was struck. You didn't recognize it the first time because the sound, with its complex pattern of overtones, came to your ears in reverse. What's this? Make a guess? No, it's nothing but this. One little tinkle on a triangle. But we lowered it in pitch many, many times. And in so doing, those myriads of overtones that give the triangle its particular ringing quality were lowered as well, becoming louder and clashing with each other as we increase the volume. So this becomes this. This next experiment was a lot of fun. We took into the studio a dozen 3-day-old baby chicks, and we recorded their peeping. Anybody not ever hear this sound? Now, listen. These are the same little fellas, but how many of you would have recognized them as baby chicks if this had been the sound you'd listened to? School of sea lions, they're the same baby chicks. For just a moment, let's listen to this one little fella alone. Come on. Would you like to hear him transformed into a seagull? Maybe a baby seagull. And now, to show how completely the quality of a sound is changed as the pitch is changed, here is our innocent little baby chick, 5 times lower in pitch than normal. Some kind of monster. You name it. What's this? A pile driver? No, it's only a faucet dripping. So you see how changing the degree of loudness can change the quality of a sound, too. Loudness and pitch. Of course, on tape recording, raising the pitch and increasing the speed go together. A piano piece, for instance. Flight of the mosquito, in this case.
Digital dexterity, as the music critics say.
Maybe we can demonstrate clearest with the speaking voice, the manner in which the quality of sound changes with its pitch. We're used to identifying people's voices by their voice quality, as well as by other characteristics, like the general tempo of their speech, modulation, accent, and so forth. But suppose,
as I'm talking to you now, my voice suddenly started getting higher than it normally is, increasing in speed as it's raised in pitch, getting higher and higher all the time till it gets way up here, sounding pretty ridiculous, to be sure. But entirely different in quality as well as in pitch. And then, making a great effort to get back to normal voice again, and normal, recognizable voice quality, I found I couldn't stop lowering the pitch.
And it got way out of hand, getting lower and lower,
and slower and slower, until it sounds just as ridiculous at the other extreme. Down here, it's not just basso profundo, but once again, the quality is changed too. Then,
bringing it back to normal pitch again, the quality becomes normal as well. But all the time, it's the same voice speaking. Well, recording all these sounds in the studio, it had to be so quiet you could hear a pin drop. It was, so we dropped a pin. Want to hear a pin drop, the way it sounds when we get through with it? Just a common pin.